Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. All right, great. Let's do, I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll talk a little bit. And so it says this, Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights." And Father, give us grace here this morning as we gather around your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, let me get a kind of a feel. I'm trying to connect with a few of us in here. And so anybody watch the show like Fixer Upper, or they got Flipper Flop, they got Property Brothers? How many of this is really in vogue? Like there's 8 million. I don't know if you realize this, it's the same show every time. Like inevitably they get this kind of beat down house, but they start fixing it up and working it and it's looking real good until inevitably, uh-oh, we got a problem. It's going to cost a couple grand, but they're able to handle it and they overcome until they get to the end. And remember the new homeowners, they come in. What happens? They see the house. What does she do every time? Oh, right. Starts crying and do that thing. And they all live happily ever after. And I don't know how many fix it up guys we got in here, because I'm not one of them. I know we got Bob and Ernie, you know, Jimmy. So we got some guys that can do that stuff. And let me just say, I respect you men, or you ladies, as well, that you can do that stuff. Like my wife can fix stuff better than me in our house. And so and when you see people that can, they're skilled in woodwork, or they know how to put fabrics together or whatever, when you see that, there's something beautiful about it. You're like, that is amazing. And so maybe like wood, like, you know, craftsmanship, and that's not your thing, but maybe this is you. How many have ever watched the show Chopped? Like any foodies in here? Here's another one. How about Cupcake Wars? Have you ever seen Cupcake? My daughter and I binged watched about 5 hours of Cupcake Wars one Sunday afternoon. And I felt like I was noticeably dumber by the end of that afternoon, right? I wasted 5 hours of my life. But how many know, like, Chopped? You watch these people, and there's these skilled chefs, and they give them these ridiculous ingredients. They get, like, here's a turkey leg, raspberry Pop-Tart, and a pomegranate. Now go! You got 20 minutes. And they're, they're doing all this stuff. And by the end of 20 minutes, they're serving up this dish, and they're like, yes, chef, today I present for you a turkey leg with raspberry Pop-Tart crumble with a pomegranate infusion. And they take it. It's fantastic, right? And you look at that, and you say, that is amazing. I don't know how many, do we got any dancers, kind of that people, you know, that kind of thing? Very few of us, huh? I'm a one move guy. You know, I got this one, you know, I can take it up, but I can bring it back up again. But I have been working on the Cabbage Patch. I've been working on that one. It's not quite ready to reveal it yet. But I remember one year, they would, in Times Square, there was a quasi-Christian group called Project Dance, and they would bring dancers from around the globe, and they would sequester off a piece of Times Square, and they would put this huge stage on, and they would dance, and then they would share testimonies in between. And so it's really kind of surreal, like, see these people out there bumping out on the streets, not knowing that it's like worship music, you know, that they're going to and stuff. And so it's kind of cool. And I remember one year we were helping host the event, and so this was before the mob dance, you know, those flash mobs, you know, that type of thing. And so we were gonna all do this. When a certain song came on, suddenly all these people that were planted in the crowd, we were gonna break into this dance. And so they had to choreograph it. And so I got this, man. You saw me. I got some of this rhythm. And so I remember going in, and so I'm with all these dancers, and there's me. And so I'm in there, and they're like 6, 7, 8, and I'm like 2, 3. You know, like just couldn't catch up and couldn't do anything. Finally, I just resolved. I was like, I'm just gonna do the big finish. bam. And so everyone else did all the moves, and I just, bah! You know, right at the end. And so that was it. But if you've seen people that have like, they understand how the body moves, they understand rhythm, and be like when you see it, it's beautiful. And so these are people that are skilled in certain areas. But tell me this, have you ever seen somebody that's skilled in life? Like you look at their life and they're like, wow, that's amazing. Like, have you ever seen Jesus in John chapter 8? That there's actually some people that were just thirsty for blood, a bunch of self-righteous folks, and they threw a woman naked down at Jesus' feet, and they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law says she should be killed. What do you say, Jesus? I'm like, you know, that's real life hitting you in the face. And Jesus, just so unmoved, he just began to write in the sand. And so we don't know what he wrote, but I'm imagining there's a few women's names on there. Because what it says is, Jesus says, hey, fellas, you know what? You're right. The law does say that. So here's what we're going to do. Those of you that are without sin, you get to throw the first rock. And so it says, one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they went away. And so I look at that. I'm like, Jesus, that is awesome. Then you look at this in Luke 20. There's another one where there's these religious hypocrites called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're trying to stump the rabbi Jesus. And so they're like, hey, Jesus, it's the law says that we're supposed to pay taxes to Caesar. What do you say? And so they put Jesus in a no-win situation, because if he says, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, the Romans are going to come in and they're going to seize him. But if he says, hey, yes, pay taxes, then he looks like a sellout to the Jews. And so what's he going to say? And so just once again, unfazed, unmoved, Jesus says, hey, do you think you could give me a coin? And he gets a coin and he says, oh, whose image is on this coin? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. Oh, and Jesus is like, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar. But he says, you give to God what belongs to God. How many know we've been made in the image of God? And so once again, it's like, that is so amazing. Like Jesus was skilled in the art of living life well. It says in Mark chapter 7, in fact, of Jesus, he's done all things well. And so I want that to be said of my life, as I know you do as well. And so we're starting a new series. We're called Foolproof. And we're going to go through the book of Proverbs. And so it's what's known as the genre of literature in your Bible. It's known as the wisdom literature. And there's three pieces of wisdom literature in your Old Testament. One is the book of Job. It's not Job. It's Job, okay? Then you have Proverbs, and then you have the book of Ecclesiastes. And so that's the wisdom literature. And then the Hebrew word for wisdom is the word chokmah. You want to say it with me? Ready? Chokmah, all right? And that means skill. And so what it is, wisdom is the skill of navigating life well. Here's what you'll find is, there's 31 chapters, which is awesome, because for you and I don't know if like, do you ever struggle reading your Bible? You're like, ah, what do I read? And you just kind of do Bible roulette. I'll read this today. But the cool thing is if you want to become wise, you can read one chapter a day, because, you know, for the most part, there's 31 days in a month. And so it's a great way to add wisdom into your life. And the book of Proverbs, broken down this way, is chapters 1-9. It's actually designed to create a desire for you to want wisdom. And here's what's kind of cool. Do you know that the book of Proverbs actually was a training book for young boys that were on their, like pubescent boys that were on their way to manhood? And so so wisdom is personified, you ready, ladies? As a woman. Of course. Yeah, you guys should have said amen right there. Of course he is. You know, why would a guy? Guys are morons, but women are wise, and sure, right? And so it's designed to create this desire for this beautiful woman called wisdom. And then in chapters 10 to 31, it'll just go these little pithy sayings, these knowledge, these nuggets of truth. And for the most part, you know, any culture you go to, they have proverbs, don't they? Like you can go to, like our culture would say this, garbage in, garbage. Great. Better to be safe than. You mess with the bull, you get the... Very good, Joyce. I like you that you knew that one right away. My kind of woman. So here, so let's get into this. Let's read, I want to read again, just break down the verses we read. Proverbs 3, let me read 1-4 one more time and just talk a little bit. So remember, so they're trying to train young men in wisdom. And so it starts by saying this, my son. And so for ladies, if that gets offensive to you, why does it got to be like a man? And I feel, do you know that we're often referred to as the bride of Christ? Man, how many like that? Right? So it's Jesus is equally offending both of us. All right? And so he says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And so you could hear this appeal as a father. I'm about to launch my son out into manhood, and you're nervous. As any parent, if you've understood, if you've been that moment where you need to kind of release your kid, you're like, oh, come on, I hope they remember some of my things. And so the appeal is, oh, remember my commands, the things I've put into your heart. Use them that you might win and be successful, skilled at living. And so I'll share a little story with you. So I made it no secret, like, I don't say, there's not a Sunday doesn't go by where I tell you like a story about my kids or whatever. So I had daughters, as you all know, but a buddy of mine, he had a son. And so his kid, on his 11th birthday, he invited me to his kid's birthday party, and like, we're good friends. And so I'm probably in my early 30s at the time, along with him. And so we're going to play laser tag with a bunch of 11-year-old kids for his birthday. And let me just tell you, it was awesome, all right? I was just like, oh, this is amazing. So we put like the gear barely fit on us, you know, but we don't care. We go in, and so we start doing this laser tag with all these little 11-year-olds. And as men, hey, fellas, you know, I don't care how old you are. I'm going to try and win, man. So we're like, ka, 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 we're doing all this stuff. And little did I know, we got destroyed. Me and my 30-year-old, a bunch of 11-year-old punks, like, beat us. And so it was round two halftime, and you divide into these two teams, and we get into the room, and suddenly a new player was added to our team. This 14-year-old kid, he comes over, and we're all kind of sitting down, kind of regrouping, and he says, hey. He goes, and then he reaches into his back pocket. He gets out a purple bandana. He goes, I'm the Purple Avenger. Like this, he puts on his headband, and he just takes control of all of us. He goes, you, and he points to me. He's like, you're going to cover our flank. And he points to my buddy, you're going to be up here on the perimeter like this. And we're both going, what's a flank? I don't know, right? So we're trying to, and this kid has like been like, doesn't have a life, and all he does is play this game. But he knew the game, man. So we just did whatever this kid said. And let me just tell you, we wrecked shop. Like, we destroyed those 11-year-old punks, and so we won the game, and that's the appeal of the Proverbs, is like, hey, humble yourself. We had to humble ourselves under this 14-year-old kid, but when we did, we won. And as you and I, we humble ourselves and we submit to the Word of God, and as we do that, we'll begin to win in life. And it's the constant appeal throughout the Scriptures. God tells Joshua, he goes, you want to be successful? He goes, don't let this word depart out of your mouth. Be careful to obey all of it. And he says, you'll surely have success. Moses tells the people of God after repeating the law to them, he says, listen, I'm setting before you blessing in life or cursing in death. He goes, choose. And so we see this as the constant refrain if we'll sit under the word of God. And I say this, and I mean this as kind as I can, is I see so often that our troubles and sorrows of our life are so often self-inflicted wounds. Like the book of Hosea says this, my people are destroyed because they don't know. They have a lack of knowledge. And so if all this knowledge and successful, skillful living is made available to us, and how can we be indifferent to the word of God? How can we not just be desperate to make it a component of our life on an everyday basis? And so I don't know if you've ever asked this question. It's really a good question for today, is where do you go for truth? In other words, like, what's the basis for, hey, who gets to determine what's right and what's wrong? What's wicked and what's good? Like, who gets to determine that in your life? Or where do you go to get these answers to these really serious questions? How many have seen the show Family Feud? Like, we got an older crew, so you remember Richard Dawson way back in the day. Then they had this other guy, Louis Anderson, was like swinging a miss, buddy. But now we have Steve Harvey. Have you seen him? He's awesome, like hilarious. And so I don't know if you've ever seen it. And so it's like they'll get up there. We were watching highlights the other night. There's like some funny YouTube clips out. And so Steve Harvey gets up there and he goes, okay, we've pulled 100 people here. The top 7 answers are on the board. And name a word that you would put after the word pork. Chop, chop, pork chop, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, number one answer, go. We're going to play, Steve. We're going to play. And so they go and they get in line. And so the next guy's up. And so name a word that you would put after the word pork. And this guy's just so sure of himself. He goes, "Yupine." He's like, "What? Yupine. Porcupine." And then here the people have the audacity. Good answer, good answer, good answer. And Steve Harvey's like, "What? That is the most idiotic." And so it was, but isn't that our culture today? Like people just make up stuff, and in our PC world, we gotta go, "Good answer, good, that's tremendous. Hey, what's good for you is good for you." And right now, the most offensive, the only wrong thing you can say today is to say, tell somebody they're wrong. Isn't that true? Yeah. And so where do we go to get truth? And the appeal in the book of Proverbs is to obey the commands of God. And then he says, don't let steadfast love, like wrap love around your neck. Let it always be with you. Anyone ever heard of this thing called Cliff's Notes? How many know I got through school? I never really read a book, man. You just do Cliff's Notes. It kind of condenses the whole thing in there. And Jesus is going to help us out. He's like, hey, I'm gonna condense the whole of Scripture to you. The law and the prophets, you could basically sum it up like this. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Boom. That's the entire book. And so if you ever get confused, you're like, hey, I don't really know the Bible that well, but you're daily trying to make that a part of your life. And then so Jesus says this, hey, just make sure you have love with you at all times. It's unbelievably powerful, and you'll take the right steps. So there's a book that I'm putting everybody onto. It's called Play the Man. Highly recommend it. It's by a guy, this guy Mark Batterson, and he tells the story of there's like on the front page of the news is a KKK grandmaster, dragon master of the Klan, but he's not doing what you think he would be doing. He's actually ripping up a Nazi flag, burning all their books and their hate literature, and he was a changed man. Because here's what happened. His story was this, is he used to torment this Jewish leader in his community. His name was Michael Weiss, and he would torment him. But Larry Trapp, the KKK grandmaster, he got kidney disease, and it was near terminal. And Michael took him into his home, loved him, served him, nurtured him back to health. And he says, he goes, that blew my mind. And here's what he said. He says, with love so fierce as that, he says, I had to love him back. I had no choice. And you know, in the same way that God, that despite the fact that how often do we fall short of what he asks of us, yet what does he do? He loves us. He nurtures us. How can we do anything but not love him back and love other people back as well? There's a great thing, and listen, you can, should follow this guy on Twitter. His name is David Brooks. He's a New York Times op-ed writer, a columnist, and he did this thing that was fascinating. Is he was distinguishing between resume virtues and eulogy virtues. And so, in other words, resume virtues is, hey, hard work, you know, discipline and all that. And all those things are fantastic, and I pray you have those in your life. But at the end of the day, more than that, is, you know, at your funeral, they're not going to be saying, boy, they were disciplined. Boy, they showed up for work on time every time. No, you know what you hope they say? Man, that person loved me. Man, that person cared. Man, and so those are eulogy virtues, and that's what we want to walk in. So he says, bind love upon our necks. And then Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, I can tell I'm going to have a hard time getting through this. All right, let's speed it up. Verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. No, I read too far. So check this out. So notice this. It's not enough to know something, like to have knowledge. How many know if you don't use the knowledge you have, who cares? And so that's the, you know, Solomon, it was said of Solomon, he's the wisest man who ever lived. However, I'm at times I question that, because Solomon, while he had the knowledge, the scripture says, Deuteronomy 17:17, that for kings, you better not take many wives because they'll lead your heart astray. Solomon, 700 wives. So how many know you can have knowledge and not walk in the knowledge you have, and it's no good to you? It's not wisdom. I love what the scripture says, to trust God. So in other words, as we put the commands in our life, now we need to step out and start using and walking in the commandments of God for our life. And so he says to trust God and to lean not on our own understanding. And so I think we have a picture here. Izzy, throw up a Charles Blondin. Have you guys heard of this guy? It's in mid-1800s, the great Charles Blondin. He was a tightrope walker. I don't know if I would, like, we're talking about trusting right now. I don't know if I'd trust a dude that wears a onesie, right? But he was rocking it back in the day. And so mid-1800s. And so if you remember the story, he walked across Niagara Falls several times. It got boring to him. He actually went out with a little stove, cooked an omelet, ate it, walked back over there. So it was small until the people were freaking out over this guy. And then he began to pander to the crowd. He was a great showman. And he's like, hey, how many believe that I could carry somebody in a wheelbarrow across this thing? And everyone's like, oh my gosh, we believe, we believe. And so he pointed to someone in the crowd. He's like, you, sir, get in the wheelbarrow. I ain't doing that, right? And so here's the terrifying thing, is God appeals to us, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own. And you know the bad thing is, the only way to trust is to trust. You've got to take that step of faith. For the record, the only one that took him up on that was his manager, and he wheeled that guy back and forth over Niagara Falls. And he made it, all right? And so the only way to trust is to trust. And it says this, in all your ways to acknowledge God. Here's what that means. Wherever I go, I need to acknowledge the fact that Christ is here. And so I got to tell you something hilarious. I promise you I will get video of this. So at my gym at New York Sports Club, there is a dude who looks just like Jesus. Like, I don't know, we don't really know who Jesus is, but he's got the beard, the long hair. You know how crazy it is to see Jesus doing the elliptical like this, right? And so I just thought, this is so crazy. I'm like, Lord, do you want a Gatorade, right? And so that guy's there. But you know, the reality is this, is that, man, Jesus is at the gym. He's also at your office. He's also in your car. He's also, you fill in the blank. That he says, if you know Christ this morning, he goes, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. And so I think that's an important, that adjusts the way that we live and do life, doesn't it? And then verses 7 through 8 of Proverbs 3, it says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And so it starts off with this, hey, if you want to be wise, do you want to be wise this morning? I do. The posture of our heart, it has to be one of humility. Because the reality is, if you're awesome, then there's nowhere to go, right? And so that way we need to realize, hey, I'm me. I'm 48 years old. God, you've always been. You're going to be a little bit smarter than me and things. So if there's a tie, Jesus wins every time. And so we need to humble ourselves. Here's something really interesting. So I'm reading a book called Barking Up the Wrong Tree. It's a business book and stuff like that. You might want to check it out, Nick. There's a financial analyst. Her name is Laura Rittenhouse. And she says this. She goes, do you want to know a company that's going to be just ground into the dirt? He says, just look at the CEO's, what does he call it? The CEO's annual reports. And if you count how many times they use the word I and me, he goes, the stats play out. The more I and me's there are, the more that company is going to tank, right? And so that's why we have to humble ourselves and say, God, not I, not me, you know what to do. And then he says, fear the Lord and turn from evil. Do you know that the fear of the Lord, it's a mega theme in Proverbs? So if you're like, hey, pastor, I'm not going to read the whole book. Let me just give it to you. Proverbs 1:7, it won't be on the board because I gave Izzy the wrong scripture. Proverbs 1:7 says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It all starts here. And the funny thing is 2017, this is such an unpopular thing to hear about. You know, how many know, like, all fear is not bad. Like, there's some fear is bad. There's the phobias, right? That's actually the Greek word they use is phobos. And how many know, like, we had I was going to baptize a woman, and she approached me before the baptism. She's like, I have a fear of water. she says, I'm going to want to go under. You're going to have to help me go under, right? And so I remember getting her in the water. I had to bench press this young lady down into the water, you know, to do that. But we got her done, right? And so, but there's also fun fear. I don't know how many of you get like roller coasters and extreme, like you like that stuff. You know, I always have fun with my wife in the car. I tell you this, she's not a real good passenger. I'm not a very good driver. And so I remember every now and then I'll just be like, ha, like that. And she just, ha, it's not funny, you know, and she does that thing. And, how about this? But there's a type of fear that'll keep you safe. So how about this? There's a woman, or actually they don't even reveal her name in this book, but there's a disease called Urbach with disease. And what happens is a portion of the brain that processes fear, it calcifies. And so it's very rare, but there's like 400 cases in the United States where people have the inability to experience fear. And so they tell of this one lady that they've been following around, and they said it's terrifying for those around her, because they were saying she went into a pet store and she's trying to handle these poisonous snakes because she's no fear. She's been robbed and held at knife point on several occasions because she didn't realize she's going into a bad situation she was beaten and abused by her husband. She just didn't sense fear. And so like I would think, oh man, it'd be like a superhero. It'd be amazing. No. It's unbelievably deadly and not safe. And so there's a good kind of fear. And the fear of the Lord is that thing is going to lead us to where we need to be. There's a great book called When People Are Big and God Is Small. It's by this guy named Ed Welch. And there's one money line in it. You tweet this out. He says this: the fear of the Lord simplifies life. Isn't that great? Like, isn't it like in here, like it's clear, thou shalt not and thou shall. And then you get out of these doors and it like gets fuzzy, right? But isn't it great that the fear of the Lord, it brings a clarity to life. I want to commend that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then lastly, let's read verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I'm just going to touch on this. It seems really random. We're talking about the fear of the Lord and trust and wisdom, and then they throw in this money thing, honor the Lord. So I'm going to get a feel. I'm going to be good. This crowd's going to be good for this one. Nick, you have to Google this later on, okay, to figure out how many heard of Van Halen? You heard of Van Halen? Like back in the day, they were the bomb, man. And I'm not talking about counterfeit Van Halen with Sammy Hagar like they had in the middle 80s. That doesn't count. I'm talking about authentic Van Halen with David Lee Roth. So many of you don't know, like David Lee Roth like looks a little bit like a freak show and all that, which he probably was a little bit. But he really had a brilliant mind, a brilliant business mind, because here's what he did. He helped, he put into the contracts for all their venues, they put what's called the M&M clause in the contract. And so what they did is they buried the M&M clause real deep in the fine details. And what it was is, if there were any brown M&Ms in their back room with all their snacks, if there's any brown M&Ms in the M&M jar, that the contract was null and void and Van Halen got all the proceeds for the concert. And so the reason why they put that in there is because with all the pyrotechnics and all that kind of stuff, they wanted to make sure that these people that had their life on the line with fire coming up from the stage and that, they wanted to know that they knew every single detail. So they called it the tripwire. It was, if there was a brown M&M, they know you didn't read the contract and all the safety regulations that we wanted to do. And so, you know, as far as giving, honoring the Lord with your wealth, I hate to tell you this, but it's the tripwire. Where your finances go will let you know kind of where your heart is. And so I know it stings and it stinks. Your money and your mouth will reveal really what's going on inside of your heart. And so I love that they use this word too to honor the Lord, to honor the Lord. Like it's God, it's you first. Hey, I know I have these needs, this, but I'm going to honor you. And for the record, we want to be known as a people like that people at Every Nation New Jersey. Man, they honor God. And they honor each other. May that be how we're known in northern New Jersey. Then let's finish verses 11 and 12 and what we'll call it a day. It says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. And so while we're talking about wisdom, and then how many know, like, if you really step back and, like, who are those people that you look in your life and you go, man, they're wise? Can you get a picture of who they are? I know you're all thinking of me right now, but whoever that is, and now think about this. Do they have any pain or scars in their past? I tell you what, for me, the people that I look to and they're the most wise, man, they've been through some stuff. Like, they've been through difficult times. And the scripture is going to say this, is that sometimes God, as a good, loving dad, will let us walk through some stuff because he's adding some stuff to our life. Or he's actually removing things, not because he's vindictive or unloving, but because he's very loving. So I'm going to end with this last story. And so, I think I'll get some help on this one. Let me take you back to Saturday nights as a kid. So 9, 10-year-old at my house, how it went down. So we would all gather around the TV. Now, adults, you feel it? One TV. Because we only had one TV back then. We didn't have them in the bathroom and on our devices and things. We didn't know what a device was. All right. And the TV was the size of a bathroom vanity. Okay. It was enormous. And it weighed about as much as a small automobile. All right. And that's what it was. And get this, it had 3 channels. Not unless you want to count the UHF where you go, like, do that thing. Okay. There was no such thing. Young people, listen to me. As a remote control, you were the remote control. Son, go turn it to channel 7 and turn it up, okay? And so we were the remote control back in that time, and so we'd all gather around the TV Saturday night for, how many remember this? The Wonderful World of Disney. Do you guys remember that? Come on, we would sit around, and there'd be all the Wonderful World of Disney. You'd be like, oh, and then you're wondering what they're going to show today, and so you watch it, and I can remember the first time that Pinocchio came on. And so do you remember Pinocchio, and they had this character, Jiminy Cricket? And then he was kind of like the conscience, and Jiminy Cricket, he sang this song that we all know, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, anything your heart desires will come to you. All right, I apologize for that, but so we know the song. So you might not know this, is that the voice of Jiminy Cricket is this guy, Cliff Edwards is his name, and he was a homeless, unemployed young man, but he had a voice like no one else. And so he could sing like 3 octaves higher than anybody else around him. And so fame began to hit him, and he became this famous vaudeville singer. And so money, fame came to him. And as he got everything his heart desired, and here's what it led to: addiction, alcoholism, bankruptcy. Until he just tanked in his life. And so here you see, you get everything that his heart desired, it came to him, and it absolutely crushed him. And so the reality might be these things that we're asking for God, it's not God and his indifference or wanting to withhold things from you, but at times there's things that God, we are just not ready for them yet. I know that stinks, and I don't like to hear that, but sometimes it's just true. And then other times we'll walk through dark moments. And in that, don't think that God's abandoned you or forsaken you, but he's allowing you to walk through some things, and it pains him every step of the way. So let me just tell you. So you guys know I had 5 back surgeries, and relative to the things that Joyce and Nisi and Jimmy and some of these guys that have walked through with cancer and heart and all these things, but I had my 5 back surgeries, and let me tell you what, I hated every second of it. But on the other end of it, I tell you what, it's imparted some wisdom to me. Like, here's what I'm not ignorant of. Hey, health is a gift. It's every day that you can get out of bed without pain, it's a gift from God, and you need to worship. Here's what I know, as I realized how important my wife is to me, and because she cared for me and did all these different things were imparted. I never want to go through that again, but I'm really glad what it imparted to me. And so that's sometimes the difficult thing to do for us. Don't despise it.
Thanks for joining us in Every Nation is Yours. Where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.